Lord, as we gather together in thy presence, our hearts are full of gratitude, of thanks, of love, and of adoration. Oh, our Father, how we praise and thank thee for this privilege, that we may enter into the Holy of Holies with boldness. It is not because of what we are, not because of what we have done or have not done, but it is purely because of the blood of thy Son. It is because thou hast made us a new and living man, even through the veil, thy flesh. And it is because thou, our Lord Jesus, is now our great high priest. Oh, how we praise and thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast brought us, carried us into the very presence of the Father, that we can live our lives and tell thee how much we love thee, because thou hast first loved us. O Lord, we are what we are today. It is all by thy We are here as an exhibit of thy love, as a proof of what thou hast done on this earth. Lord, we are here to glorify thy name. We are here to exalt thee, to lift thee up, because thou alone art worthy. Thou art worthy to receive power and honor and glory and dominion. And in everything, oh, thou art so well, we praise and we worship thee. Oh Lord, we do desire that we may see thee tonight. We may hear thee tonight. We may feel thy touch tonight. Oh Lord, how we praise and thank thee, because thou art real. Thou art living. Thou art ever present. Thou art always available. Lord, we praise thee. We just commit this time into thy hands and trust thy Holy Spirit to breathe upon thy word and make it living and operating in each of our lives. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to the full knowledge of God. That thou mayst be glorified in the church in Christ Jesus. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I'd like to read from the third book of the Bible, the book of Leviticus. Will you please turn to Leviticus chapter 8. God willing, we would like to cover three chapters of Leviticus tonight, from chapter 8 through chapter 10. We did seven chapters this morning, so I think three chapters is not too long. If you cannot hear, just raise your hand so I know it. All right. Leviticus chapter 8. We'll read from verse 22. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 22. And he presented the second ram, the ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and one slaughtered it, And Moses took off his glove and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons near, and Moses put of the blood on the tip of their right ear and on the thumb of their right hand and on the great toe of their right foot. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. And he took the fat and the fat tail and all the fat that was on the inwards and the neck of the liver and the two kidneys and their fat and the right shoulder and out of the basket of unleavened bread that was before Jehovah, he took one unleavened cake, and a cake of oil bread, and one wafer, and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. And he gave all into Aaron's hands, and into his son's hands, and waved them as a wave offering before Jehovah. And Moses took them from off their hands, and burned them on the altar over the burnt offering. They were a consecration offering for a sweet odor. It was an offering by fire to Jehovah, and Moses took the breast and waved it as a wave offering before Jehovah of the ram of consecration. It was Moses' part, as Jehovah had commanded Moses. And Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, and on his sons, and on his sons' garments with him, and hallowed Aaron, his garments, and his sons' garments, and his sons, and his sons' garments with him. That's all we'll read for tonight. For the sake of some people who are not there this morning, I'm afraid we have to go back a little bit so that you may see the connection. The book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. Therefore, it shows to us the purpose of God. The book of Exodus is a book of redemption. Therefore, it reveals to us the work of God. The book of Leviticus is on priesthood. It tells us of the call of God. Now, what is God's purpose? God's purpose is towards man. He wants a certain kind of man. God-man. He first secured that man in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then through our Lord Jesus Christ, a corporate body that is joined to Christ the head. And that is the church. In order to obtain that corporate man in Christ Jesus, he has to do the work of redemption because sin has entered into this world. Redemption is more than just redeeming out us out of something into which we have fallen. That is only part of the work of redemption. Our Lord Jesus redeems us out of sin, out of death, out of the curse of the law, out of the world, out of ourselves, out of the power of darkness. But this is only the negative part of redemption. Redemption is to redeem us back to the purpose of God. Therefore, there is a positive aspect of redemption.
He is to redeem us out of something that he may redeem us into someone. And that is the reason why when you read the book of Exodus, you'll find in the beginning the story of deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt until God brought them to himself at Mount Sinai. But when you go on from Mount Sinai, you find not only the giving of the law, but the revelation of the tabernacle. So finally in the book of Exodus, you find the tabernacle was erected and the glory of God filled that tabernacle. In other words, here the work of redemption is accomplished. Man has now had a tabernacle for God, and God dwells among man. God and man are united into one. That is the purpose of God. Realize through the work of the redemption of our Lord Jesus. That is the book of Exodus. Then after Exodus, you have the book of Leviticus. Most likely, Leviticus, all that is given to us in Leviticus, occurred during the first month after the tabernacle was erected. Here was the tabernacle set up in the wilderness, and the glory of God descended and filled the tabernacle. Then the book of Leviticus begins with this. The law called to Moses out of the tent of meeting. In other words, after you have the tabernacle, then God began to call his people to come to him and to serve him as priests. So dear brothers and sisters, we remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 5 and 6. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the living stone, rejected by man, but precious, chosen by God. And as we come to Christ, we are as living stones, being built up a spiritual house. This is we who are dust, we who are no good, we who are enemies of God, we who were sons of disobedience, rebellious, and yet through the redemption work of our Lord Jesus, he has made us living stones. We have life in us. We are stones. We are living stones. Like Christ is the living stone. We are a chip out of that rock. We share his light and his divine nature in us. But brothers and sisters, this is not all. We are not only by the work of redemption of our Lord Jesus become living stones, but these living stones are being built up together into a spiritual. The work of redemption is not finished with us if we are just living stones and just scattered all over. Why? Because if you are just living stones, you may be a sight in yourself, but God cannot do well among us. Or you may just throw all these living stones together into great piles. It may serve as a great monument, but it is not a spiritual house. God cannot dwell. God's purpose is not realized. But we as living stones allow the Holy Spirit to work with us, to use the cross to cut us, to chisel us, to saw us, to smooth us, and to bring us together that we may be fitly framed and rightly joined one to another under the living head. Then you'll find we become a spiritual house like the tabernacle in Exodus. And the glory of God fills that house. And this is what the church is, what God's purpose is. But Peter says something more than that. Peter said, we as living stones coming to Christ, we are being built up together a spiritual house for God to dwell. A holy priesthood. And in a sense, you know, it's almost ungrammatical. Why? Because it does not say we are being built up together a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. There is no conjunction in the original. It's just a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Why? Because the spiritual house and the holy priesthood are the two sides of the one thing. On the one hand, we are built up together a spiritual house. At the same time, we are called into a holy to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Where? In the spiritual house. What will that tabernacle be if there is no priesthood? You may have a tabernacle erected with all the furnishings finely and fully furnished if there is no priesthood. The whole tabernacle is dead. God is not served at all. God is not worshipped. But when the tabernacle was erected and the priesthood began to enter into the tabernacle and started to offer sacrifices on the brazen altar and pour water into the brazen laver and wash their hands and feet and go into the holy place to light the lamp, to put on the showbread, to burn incense, and then you'll find the whole house become living. And God is worshipped. So dear brothers and sisters, we are not only a spiritual house if we are built up together. But we are also a holy priesthood. With the children of Israel, when God first called them, in the 19th chapter of Exodus, God said, I have brought you as an eagle's wing to myself. And if you keep my covenant, and if you hear my voice, then I will make you a peculiar possession of mine out of all the nations. And I will make you a nation of priests. In other words, God's original purpose for his redeemed people is that the whole nation would become a nation of priests. All the redeemed ones are priests. Whether you are a man or a woman, you are an old man or a young man or a child, you'll find that the whole nation is a nation of priests. What does it mean? It means that everyone is to serve God. We are saved to serve. Let my people go that they may serve me. But unfortunately, when Moses was receiving the law at the top of the mountain, the children of Israel, they made a golden calf and they began to worship idols. And because of that, they disqualified themselves as a nation of priests. Only the tribe of Levi, when Moses stood at the entrance of the camp, because the camp was unholy, he stood at the entrance of the camp and called, who is on the Lord's side? Only the tribe of Levi stood out with him. And because of that, from that time on, God set apart part the tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron as the priesthood. But remember, this was God's emergency measure. This was not God's original design. Therefore, when we come to the time of our Lord Jesus, when the reality has come, when the Lord Jesus redeems us unto Himself, dear brothers and sisters, God does not redeem us through Christ Jesus into His emergency measure. God redeems us in Christ Jesus back to His original design. That's the reason why in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, we are told, to Him who loves us and has washed us with His blood and has made us a kingdom of priests unto God, to Him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, we know that the Lord Jesus loves us. We know that He has washed us with His blood. He has washed away all our sins and made us clean. Thank God for that. But do you know that He has done something much more than that? You are not only cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, but He has made you king and priest unto God. You are a priest. You may not be called a priest by people, but so far as your relationship with God is concerned, you are a bona fide priest. You are born again into the priesthood. Every believer is a priest. What is a priest? A priest is one who is set apart for one purpose in life. And that is to serve God. That's a priest. And do you know you are a priest? Oh, you say, no, I'm a housewife. No, I'm a lawyer. No, I'm a doctor. I'm an engineer. I'm a scientist. I'm a teacher. I'm a student. These are your advocation, not your vocation. A priest may serve in the family. A priest may serve in the office. A priest may serve in the field, but he is still a priest. These are our avocations. Our one vocation is serving God. This is the priest. We are priests. When you are serving in the family, you serve as a priest in the family. That is to say, you serve God in the family. When you are working in the office, you work in the office as a priest. You serve God in your office. No matter what you are engaged with, you are a priest. And a priest has only one purpose of life, that is to serve God. Every believer is a priest. Christianity has fallen back into Judaism, back into God's emergency measure, when we set apart only a few as a special class of priests and say, now, you serve God, we serve the world. No such thing in the Bible. Every believer is a priest. This is our calling. We are called to be priests to serve God. But thank God, we are not just priests. We are a holy priesthood. Now, what is a priesthood? A priesthood means that it is not just one priest. It is not just many priests serving separately, individually, independently, all by themselves, but a priesthood is a number of priests serving together in a related way under the order of the great high priest. That is the priesthood. How do we become God's dwelling place, God's habitation? Only when we as living stones are being built up together. Then God can dwell and rest among us. How can we serve God? Not just each go off its tangent and serve God independently. No. It is only when we serve God together, each in his or her proper place in relation to your brothers and sisters, and all under the direction of our great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a priesthood. And what is the purpose of the priesthood? To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are to offer sacrifices to God. What are the sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices, not just anything. Cain offered his sacrifice, and he was completely rejected by God. Why? Because he was just offering the produce of his own hand. He did not offer the right sacrifice, which his brother Abel offered. What are these spiritual sacrifices that we can offer to God as our spiritual service? So that's the reason why in the first 7 chapters of the book of Leviticus, you find 5 different kinds. And these 5 different kinds of offerings form the basis of the priesthood. It is through these 5 kinds of offerings that the priesthood is come into being. And when the priest begins to serve, these are the sacrifices that they may be able to offer to God. And this morning, we dwell on the first 7 chapters. We cannot go back into detail, but we just mentioned that these 5 offerings reveal to us the various aspects of our Lord Jesus Christ. We as priests, we are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. That is to say, we as priests, we are to function. We are to function as priests, to offer, to satisfy God, to please God, to serve God. But what can we offer? If you try to offer yourself, oh Lord, this is my talent, here is my wisdom, that is my cleverness, here is my experience, I'm a great executive, so I'm coming to the church to serve you as the elder there. No, these are not spiritual sacrifices. These are the offerings of Cain. Abominable in the eyes of God. God cannot accept anything that we offer unless we offer Christ Jesus. God cannot accept anything less than his own Son. And how are we going to offer Christ to the Father unless we appreciate, we appropriate of all that Christ is? And when we begin to appreciate him, when we begin to appropriate all that he is and all that he has done for us, in other words, when we begin to know him and to experience him as the burnt offering, as the oblation, as the peace offering, as the sin offering, as the trespass offering. Now, as we experience Jesus Christ in all these various aspects, then we come to God and say, now, we offer back to you the Christ that you have given to us. And this is acceptable to God. These are the spiritual sacrifices. Now, that's where we end this morning. So now we'll continue on with this.
this evening.
Chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10 seem to form another section in the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is a book on priesthood. So the Talmud calls it the laws of the priests. Here you'll find God calls us to offer spiritual sacrifices as priests, because that is the basis of priesthood. But in chapter 8, you find God called Moses and asked Moses to bring Aaron and his sons, because God had set apart Aaron and his sons to be priests. But before they could function in the tabernacle as priests, something must be done with them first. It is true, his family was called, his family was set apart to be priests, and their future service will be to serve God in the tabernacle. But they just cannot walk into the tabernacle and start to minister. They will be completely rejected. Something has to happen to them before they can begin to function as priests. And that was chapter 8. So God called Moses to bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting. And all the children of Israel will be gathered there to serve as witnesses. Why? Because there, Aaron and his sons were to be consecrated to God. And actually, the word consecration, consecrated, simply means set apart for God. God had called. Now they should be set apart. And of course, consecration had a deeper meaning. We will go into that afterwards. But anyway, you'll find before Aaron and his sons were to serve in the tabernacle as priests, before they were to offer spiritual sacrifices, first they had to be consecrated. Now, how are they going to be consecrated? Several things must be done. There must be a bullock to be offered as sin offering. And even before that, Aaron and his son were to come, and they were to wash themselves, they were to take a bath. And then they will put on the priestly garments of beauty and of glory. And after that, oil will be poured on the head of Aaron. And after that, they will bring a bullock as the sin offering. And Aaron and his son will put their hands on the head of the bullock, and the bullock will be slain, and the blood will be sprinkled before God, and the bullock will be burned outside the camp as the sin offering. Then they will offer a ram of burnt offering. And this ram was to be burned completely on the altar as incense towards God. And after they had done all these, then came the second ram. And the second ram is called the ram of consecration. By the second ram, they were to be consecrated as priests unto God. And after that, they will begin to function in the tabernacle. Now, brothers and sisters, let's go back a little bit. Maybe let us ask a question. So far as the work of the redemption of our Lord Jesus is concerned, we are all priests. No doubt about that. This is the word of God. Whether you feel like a priest or you do not feel like a priest, or whether you want to be a priest or you do not want to be a priest, that does not affect it a bit. If you are redeemed, you are called. If you are a child of God, you are a priest by birth. Not after birth, but new birth. And yet, there is a problem here. We are all priests. But how many priests are functioning? We are all priests. But how many are serving God? Why is it that we are all priests and yet so few are really serving God, while the rest are not functioning as priests in the tabernacle, in the church? Why? There is something missing here. And that which is missed is consecration. By calling, we are priests. But before we can enter into practical priestly functions, we need to do one thing, and that is to be consecrated. We consecrate, as one brother said, God sanctifies. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech thee to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your intelligent service. And then following that, you'll find the functioning of the members in the body of Christ. That's Romans 12. In other words, before you can function as priests, you have to present your bodies a living sacrifice, and that is consecration. Consecration is to present your bodies a living sacrifice. But before you can consecrate your bodies a living sacrifice, there needs to be some preparation, not just anybody. Suppose I am a person who do not know God. Suppose I am a person who is not saved, but somehow it comes to my mind that I want to serve God. Do you think God will accept my service? He is so hungry for service. He is so eager that somebody will serve him, that he will take anybody into his service, if anyone wants to. Even today, when you want to serve the Queen of England, for an example, suppose you want to be a chambermaid of the Queen. Do you think that because you offer yourself, therefore, she is honored by your offering and says, sure, I need you to serve me. No. To serve the Queen as a chambermaid, you need to have certain qualifications. And if you are chosen to be her chambermaid, you are honored. Not she is honored. You are honored. God is such a great God. Do you think he is so hungry for service that he would take anyone to serve him? Not so. If you are a genius, if you are a most talented person, if you are a most wealthy person, if you are the most highly educated person, and you come to God and, God, I'm going to serve you, will that be a great honor to you? God says, I don't want your service. You are not qualified. Not just anybody. Why is it Romans 12 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice? Because these bodies are not just any bodies. These bodies are thee. God has done something to these bodies. In other words, you have Romans chapter 1 through chapter 11 there as preparation. We were sinners. We were dead in sins and transgressions. How could we serve God? Even if we want to serve, God will not be honored. God did not want our service. But thank God, Christ Jesus came as the sin offering. He died on the cross for our sins. And because of that, we know Jesus Christ as our sin offering. We lay our hands on the head of the bullock. In other words, we are identified with Christ. We accept Him as our sin offering. Therefore, our sins are forgiven. And not only Christ as our sin offering, you find Christ as our burnt offering. In other words, He not only cleanses us from our sins, but in the Beloved, we are accepted by God. We have found favor in the Beloved. In other words, from Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter 11, God has to do everything for us in Christ Jesus just to prepare for that day. When He can say, brethren, by the compassions of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now you can. Dear brothers and sisters, to consecrate ourselves to the Lord to serve Him is a great honor. Never think that to serve God is to give God honor, is to receive honor. That God will honor us with the privilege of serving Him. Now that is consecration. So first of all, you find before the realm of consecration was offered, there must be all those preparations. They had to be washed, they had to be clothed in the priestly garment, they had to offer sin offering and burn offering. It means that we have to be washed, we have to be separated, we have to put on Christ as our garment, beauty and glory. And we have to be united with Christ in His devotion as the burnt offering. And after He had prepared us in Christ Jesus, then He said, now this is the hour. You can serve Me now. Now you can consecrate yourself to Me. Now you can offer the realm of consecration. Now how about the realm of consecration? A ram was taken, and then it was slaughtered. And then the blood of that ram, will be put on the right ear of Aaron and of his sons, on the right thumb of their hands, on the great right toe of their feet. In other words, the ram of consecration, first, the blood is to be applied to the ear, to the thumb, and to the toe. In Leviticus chapter 17, we are told, life is in the blood. Therefore, the blood can atone for life. So you find when the blood of the ram is put on the ear and the thumb and the toe, what does it mean? Realm in the scripture is to be offered to God, wholly devoted to God. In other words, our Lord Jesus, by the eternal Spirit, offer Himself spotless to God, willingly, voluntarily, completely out of love, he offered himself to God as the realm of burnt offering. That is our Lord Jesus. He is so devoted to the Father that he is willing to go to death and even the death of the cross. It is to be applied on our right ear, on our thumb, and on our toe. In other words, what characterizes Christ is now to characterize us as Christians. If we want to serve God, we cannot serve in our own life. Our natural life, our natural energy, our natural cleverness, all that is natural of ourselves cannot serve God. If we want to serve God, we have to be identified, united with Christ. And His life is our life. And that which characterizes His life is to characterize our life. So that is the reason why the blood has to be put on the ear. What is the most important thing in service? Not the feet, not the hand, but the ear. Sometimes our feet are too swift. Our hands are too skillful. But our ears are very dumb. And if that is the case, you cannot serve the Master well. To serve, the first important thing in service is the ear. You remember in Psalm 40, it is prophesied of our Lord Jesus. David the prophet, in writing Psalm 40, he says, sacrifice and oblation thou dost not want. Behold, thou hast prepared me an ear. And the word prepare means thou hast thrust through an ear. Thy dig through an ear. You know, lots of women dig their ears in order to put an ear in life. But in the history of Israel, you find if you have a sling, if a Hebrew should become a slave to another Hebrew, he will serve only 7 years. And after he has served 7 years, he will go out free. But if during the period of his service, at first it was obligatory, but after 7 years in that family, he loved the master, he loved his master's family, you know, and when the day comes that he is to be set free, he said, I do not want to go free. I love you. I want to serve you forever. Out of love, not out of obligation. And what would they do? The master would take the slave to the front door and put his ear on the doorpost and then thrust it through. So whenever you see a Hebrew who has his ear digged through, you know he is a love slave. He is no longer free. For life he is a slave. But that's his choice. So dear brothers and sisters, here you'll find it was spoken of our Lord Jesus. God said, God, sacrifices and oblations thou dost not want, but thou hast deep through my ear. I'm here to hear you. And because I heard you, I do your will. Behold, I come to do your will. And thy law is in my heart. Or another translation is my delight. So, dear brothers and sisters, you'll find this is our Lord Jesus. How does he serve God? He served God with a deep ear. Thou dost wake me morning by morning. My ear has one instructed. The first thing is to hear. Therefore, the blood of the ram must be applied on the right ear. That is to say, we are to be joined with Christ in servanthood, in learning to hear the voice of God. And unless we can hear by the power of His life, we are not qualified to function as priests. You know, sometimes we are too swift in our feet, too agile in our hands. And yet, before we hear, we are 100 miles away already. We have done something half finished already. We give God lots of troubles. The more you help, the more trouble you give. Therefore, the blood must be applied on the ear. And after the ear, the thumb and the toe. In other words, the ear to hear, the hand to work, and the feet to walk. And these three points represent the whole body. So this is what is meant by Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. As we present our bodies a living sacrifice, we are identified with Christ as the burnt offering. His life of obedience is to be our life. As He hears the Father, so we hear Him. As He do the will of God, so we do His will. As He walk in the way of God, so we walk in His way. Now, you'll find the blood is identical. We are identified with Christ through the life blood. That is the first thing. The second thing. Then, Moses will take out all the fat of the ram. Now, today, people are afraid of fat. You know, but fat. What is fat? After you have eaten some food, you know, you consume, your body uses up what you have eaten. But because you eat so well, there is more than you need. So what is left over, that is abundant, the overabundant part becomes fat. And they are stored in your body for future consumption. Now that's fat. So fat in the scripture represents the inner strength of life. It is inside. It represents the inner strength of life. And with the children of Israel, they were not allowed to eat any fat, animal fat. Why? The fat belongs to God. The best part, that inward strength, the the heart love, the heart affection, the heart desire, all those inward strength belongs to God. So all the fat are taken out. Then the shoulder of the ram. Now shoulder in the scripture always speaks of responsibility. You know? The priest will put the ark on their shoulder and bear the ark. In other words, that is representative of strength and responsibility. So the fat taken out. Then the shoulder taken out. And what are they to do with these things? Moses will put the fat and the shoulder of the lamb in the hands of Aaron and his son. And then he will take out of the basket unleavened bread, a wafer, a cake with oil, and he will take these and put on the fat and the shoulder and fill the hand of Aaron and his sons with these things and then wave them before God. Wave them before God. After they are waved, then the fat is burned. The shoulder belonged to Moses. And the Bible said, this is the consecration offering. You know, the word consecration in the original Hebrew literally means fill the hands. Fill the hands. That is consecration. First, we allow the life of the Lord Jesus to so fill us, so that now our hands are empty. You know, our hands are always occupied with something. And because our hands are always filled, God cannot use us. Therefore, first, we have to empty our hands. Here we are, empty. And after our hands are empty, then God will fill our hands with what is of Him. And as we wave them before God, this is consecration. The fat and the shoulder represents the inward and the outward strength of our Lord Jesus from the divine side. The flour, the unleavened bread, the cake and the wafer represents the purity of the life of our Lord Jesus from the human side. In other words, here you'll find what fills the hand of Aaron and his sons. The Lord Jesus, His divinity and His humanity. It is what the Lord Jesus is that fills their hand. And when their hands are filled with the Lord Jesus and they wave it, they are consecrated. They are consecrated. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are priests. But before we can function as we have to be consecrated. That is to say, we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice so that we are free of everything before Him, like empty hands. Then He will fill our hands with Christ. When we are filled with Christ, we are occupied with Christ of what He is, then we are set apart as priests. We can begin to function. Brothers and sisters, are we consecrated? What fills our hands? Is it Christ who fills our hands? This is just but a symbolic way of saying. In other words, what occupies us? Are we occupied with Christ? Or are we occupied with ourselves? Or are we occupied with many things of this world? Or even are we occupied with doctrines about Christ? Or teachings about Christ? But are we occupied with a living Christ? With Christ, the living person. Dear brothers and sisters, when you are fully occupied with Christ, when you present your body as a living sacrifice, then Christ will fill you. You know, oftentimes we think consecration, that is hard. Sometimes we say the preacher always tried to pick me. You know, that's how I was tricked. I went to a conference, you know, and during the first few days, the preacher will always preach, well, salvation is free, come, and you will drink the water of life freely. You do not need to pay anything. It is all for you. That's good. So I came. I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, and thank God He forgave my sin, and I enjoyed Him very much. Then the last day, the preacher said, now consecrate yourself. Give yourself to God. He tricked me. I did. And I had it. You know, we often think that when we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, then we say, Lord, what is left for me? Nothing. We often think of consecration as a loss.
Oh no, dear brothers and sisters.
The Lord said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why? Because I can fill you with myself. Oh, he will fill your hands. He will fill you with himself. You will know him, experience him in a way you never know him before. He is so rich, he is so full, unspeakable, unsearchable. That is Christ. He will fill you with him. And when your hands are filled, that's what you serve. You are consecrated. You are set apart. Therefore, after that, Moses will take the blood from the altar, mix with oil, and sprinkle upon Aaron and his sons and their garments, and they are consecrated. In other words, their life from now on will be marked by the life of the Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. It is in the life of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that you serve and function. Lots of believers miss the privilege. Not because God is partial, but because you keep yourself back from God. You will not present your bodies a living sacrifice. You want to keep it back for yourselves, for your own use, to serve your purpose. And how much can oh, if only we are constrained by the love of Christ and present our bodies, that redeemed bodies, to the Lord. He will fill our hands with himself. And brothers and sisters, we have the Lord to serve. We can function as priests, and we can serve in the life, resurrection life of our Lord, in the power. And you know, this rite of consecration went on for 7 days. 7 is completion. In other words, consecration is not something that you do, say, 5 years ago, and that's it. Consecration is a consecrated life. It continues on for 7 days. That is to say, from the first day you consecrate yourself to the Lord and he sanctifies you, then it shall be continue on throughout your life. Every morning when you wake up, you say, Lord, I am still on the altar and I do not intend to climb down. Every morning you get up and say, Lord, I'm yours. Fill me with yourself and use me as you please. You find that it continues on throughout your life. And that is the consecration of the priest. And then chapter 9, on the 8th day, that is to say, after they were consecrated, then on the 8th day, which is the day of resurrection, a new beginning. And on the 8th day, Aaron and his sons entered into the tabernacle and they began to offer sin offering and burnt offering and peace offering. And as they did that, you know what happened? The glory of the Lord appeared and fire came out from God and burned the offering. And the people bow down and worship God. Dear brothers and sisters, if we who are chosen as priests of God, we will present our bodies a living sacrifice. We will be occupied with Christ. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, in his resurrection life, we will function as priests. and offer Christ back to God. The glory of the Lord will appear. Fire will come down from heaven to consume our offering. In other words, God says, I expect it. I'm pleased with it. This is my food. I'm strengthened. I'm full. I'm satisfied. You know, whenever God is satisfied, glory appears. Wonderful. If only God's people would see this. Oh, we are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And if every brother and sister will all present their bodies a living sacrifice and will be filled with Christ and offer Christ back to God, glory will fill the church. Why do we not see the glory of God? Not because God does not want to appear. It is because we hold back from God what is His due. If we satisfy Him, His glory will appear. But a warning. Chapter 10. On that very same day, it was so glorious, and suddenly happened. Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, evidently they were drunk. Think of that. The first day of service and they were drunk. They took the censers, put on strange fire, put on incense, and they intended to go into the holy place to burn incense to God. Their intention was good. They were priests. They want to serve God. But they use strange fire. And as they enter into the tent of meeting, fire came out from the holiest of all and burned them up. Burned them up. And after this happened, God told Moses, whenever the priest is serving, he should not drink. So that shows that they must be drunk. These two sons of Aaron, as priests, they fell in 3 points. Number one, they were drunk. And you remember the Bible said, do not be drunk, which is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean by being drunk? Spiritually speaking, being drunk means that you are just filled with the pleasures of the world. Instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is joy, peace, love, and so on and so forth, you are filled with the pleasures of this world. Brothers and sisters, if we as priests who are supposed to serve God and yet we seek the pleasure of this world, if you love the world and you try to serve God, there is no way. There is no way. Number two, they serve without the order of Aaron. The priests are to serve, the sons of Aaron are to serve under the direction of Aaron. But instead of waiting for order, they serve independently. Without Aaron's order. They just, it came to their mind, the thing of presumption, you know. It came to their mind, they presumed that it was alright, so they just go ahead and do it. Out of order. Serving God in His house, there is a divine order. And whenever it is out of order, something is wrong. And thirdly, they
they offer strange fire.
You know, the incense must be burned with a fire taken from the altar. And the fire on the altar is the fire that comes down from heaven, from God. But instead of using that fire, they use other fire, which is strange fire. And because of that, they were consumed. What is strange fire? Strange fire represents the zeal of the flesh, our natural zeal and energy. How often we try to serve God with our natural zeal and our natural energy. It is like strange fire. God will not accept. So, dear brothers and sisters, on the one hand, if we serve God as He wills, glory appears. But if we serve God in our way, fire. It is most holy, most holy. It is a great privilege that can bring in great glory, but it is a serious matter. It can bring in death instead. And these three chapters shows us the consecration of the priests and the first day of their service. May the Lord use these words to encourage us, and at the same time, to warn us. Knowing that serving God is such a high privilege, that we may serve Him in love and with fear and trembling. Oh, that our service may bring the glory of God in, instead of the fire. Our Heavenly Father, Thou hast honored us with such high honor that we are called to be priests, that we are called to serve Thee. Oh, Father, we do desire to serve Thee. Therefore, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Fill us with Thyself, that we may be set apart for Thy service. Teach us how to serve in the way that Thou hast ordained, that we may serve Thee under the direction of the High Priest, even our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may serve Thee according to Thy will. Oh Lord, may our service bring in glory. Deliver us, O Lord, that we ever become presumptuous, that we be drunk, we be independent, and we offer strange fire before Thee, and bring down the fire of God, O Lord, with it. We pray that we may be a holy priesthood, not just a priesthood, but a holy priesthood, that we may offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Thee by Jesus Christ. Amen. We ask all in the name of our Lord Jesus and for His glory.
Yes. Amen.